tall windows. All day, you didn't cry or cry out, and you felt like sleeping. The desire to sleep was light bulbs dimming when a powerful appliance kicks on. You recognize that. As in school, it was explained to you that pus was a brave army of white corpuscles hurling themselves at the virulent invader and dying. Riding through the Netherlands on a train, you noticed that even the junk was neatly stacked in the junkyards. There were magpies in the fields beside the watery canals, neat little houses, tall windows. In Leiden, on the street outside the university, the house where Descartes lived was mirrored in the canal. There was a pair of swans, and a sense that, without haste or anxiety, all the people on the street were going to arrive at their appointments punctually. Swans and mirrors and Descartes. It was easy to see how this European tranquility might produce a poet like Mallarmé, a middle-class art like symbolism. And you did not despise the collective orderliness, the way the clerks in the stores were careful to put bills in the cash register with the queen's face facing upward. In the house next to the house where Descartes lived, a Jewish professor died in 1937. His wife was a Dutch woman of strict Calvinist principles, and she was left with two sons. In 1939, when the Nazis came, she went to court and perjured herself by testifying that her children were conceived during an illicit affair with a Gentile. And when she developed tuberculosis in 1943, she traded passports with a Jewish friend, since she was going to die anyway, and took her place on the train to the camps. Her sons kissed her goodbye on the platform, eyes open. What kept you awake was a feeling that everything in the world has its own size, that if you could find its size among the swellings and diminishings, it would be calm and shine.